This is Educating Technology, a podcast about using technology in our schools. Last time, we talked about how we manage YouTube for our school districts. This week, we're finishing out the year by talking about a few of our favorite tech of 2018 and what we're looking forward to in 2019. If you like what we're doing, you can support us by going to patreon.com/educatingtech and becoming a patron. Now, on with the show.
But I do that so I can see if I'm recording or not, and it did fix it before we went and recorded half the show and didn't know I wasn't talking.
That's good. It's always good to make sure that your recording is actually working before we actually try to record a show.
Yes, because been there,
done that. Who tries things? Who tries things, right?
We'll do it live. Do it live.
Who tests things these days? So, speaking of testing things, how is the whatever it is you're doing with your phone and some laptop dock going?
Samsung Dex. Yeah. I'm actually, it's kind of an unholy marriage on my desk right now. So I have a Samsung Galaxy Note 9 connected through a Microsoft Lumia display dock for the old Windows phone using an Apple Bluetooth keyboard and mouse. So, yeah. Unholy marriage, but it's working really well.
But you also got that laptop thing, didn't you?
I did. I left that at the house. It's it was the HP X3 lap dock. It's what they released as a pairing for their X3 smartphone that ran Windows Mobile. And so it's basically just a clamshell that has a trackpad, a battery, a backlit keyboard, and an IPS display that you plug in a USB-C device to, and it just becomes a laptop. It's kind of cool.
That's fun. A laptop with a wart hanging on the back of it, right?
A laptop with a wart on the back. Now, you can do it over Miracast, too, though, wireless, but there is a little bit of a lag.
Yeah, you can't have lag. Lag is bad.
Lag makes me sick.
Especially when you're playing Day of Defeat Source. It really messes up your rifle skills when you got some lag going on. Sorry, had to.
Day of Defeat.
Yeah, I love that game. I can't help it. It's like 15 years old, but I still like it.
It's okay. You can like that game. There's nothing wrong with liking a game.
So last week we talked about YouTube, and I think we talked about YouTube till we're blue in the face. And we've been helping some districts around here get their YouTube stuff set up, and I'm over YouTube at this point. I don't know about you. it's the end of the year. This is going to be our last episode of the year because we're going to be off for a couple weeks from the school, and so we're going to go ahead and take a couple weeks off from recording so we could just not have to worry about that. And like I said, let next week when we would record, I'm having fiber pulled between buildings, and so I actually won't probably have internet access for a limited amount of time. So,
well, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, but yeah, going to single mode fiber, pulling out the old multi mode that was ran back in 2005, I think, and putting in
2005. That was a good year.
Yeah, after Hurricane Rita, FEMA paid to run all the fiber underground. So that's what we're dealing with. We're pulling all that out, and we're moving to single mode so that I have the ability to connect over 10 gig and higher should the need arise whenever I buy new gear.
Have you thought about using one of those multiplexers on 10 gig? You know that little device I sent you a couple months ago that MikroTik makes?
Is that the thing that does the thing?
Yeah, the thing that does that thing.
Did you plug into the thing?
it basically is a prism that the fiber shoots through, and it muxes 8 different fibers. So you could actually run 8 different 10 gig modules on that same 2-strand single mode.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, so you could actually get 80 gig over it.
Ooh, fancy.
Be kind of fun to try. It's only like $200.
I'll pass because I don't have enough ports to plug into for those things to upload more than 10. I literally have one port of 10 gig open where these fiber cables are going.
Yeah, so. I mean, and screw redundancy anyway. I mean,
yeah, who cares about that? It's just who can afford redundancy at this point?
But well, E-Ray doesn't allow for it anyway. So
yeah, so this week as we round out 2018, we're going to spend a few minutes talking about some of our favorite tech things that we acquired or did or found this year. It doesn't mean that the things actually came out this year or they were created this year, but it's something that we just like extensively used this year. And then we'll also talk about something that we're looking forward to next year as the new year rolls over. We won't do resolutions because those are lame and nobody follows those anyway.
No.
But before we get into that, we have a couple pieces of Microsoft news involving Windows. One that I discovered that I didn't know existed. And then something about Google Voice that I found very, very interesting. But the first thing that I found with Microsoft, it actually came from a tweet from the VMware account. Apparently, Microsoft makes virtual machines with developer tools already installed that you can download to run for a limited period of time, and you already have access to visual code and everything it needs for development. And I just found that kind of interesting. So if you're looking to piddle around with some Windows development stuff, you don't have to go through the trouble of installing all of that stuff yourself. You can just download one of these virtual machines and fire it up, and everything is already there for you. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's very cool because, I mean, it includes the full Visual Studio. I don't think it's not even the Community Edition. And then all these little templates and whatnot that'll show you how the coding works. I think they started this back when they were really pushing for that UWP platform that no one wrote for.
Yeah, and I know it's all trials, so it doesn't last forever unless you buy a code. But why would you want to buy a code for a virtual machine?
Why not just delete it and start over?
Yeah, save just delete it, somewhere. Download another one, and keep going.
Not that I'm condoning that, but that's what I would do.
But yeah, like you said, it's got some examples and some other stuff in it. I just thought it was neat, and kind of it's also a cheap way, I guess, if you need to spin up a virtual machine real quick to do some testing, and you don't want to go through doing all the trouble of download or installing Windows from scratch. Just download one of these pre-made Windows virtual machines from Microsoft, do what you need to do, and then you can it if you need to. I just thought that was interesting. And I know somebody had, I don't know if it was VMware or VirtualBox, but somebody used to have a whole bunch of pre-made virtual machines that you could download and import.
VMware did, and VirtualBox did.
So, I mean,
virtual boxes were very Linux oriented, obviously.
Yeah. But I just think it's kind of neat that these things kind of exist if you need them for like testing purposes or if you want to play with the development stuff.
Which I do recommend. Everybody should play with it at least once.
I don't think you're going to be able to grab a download of macOS with Xcode installed in it, so you don't go looking for that one.
We'll post that on the After Dark channel.
Yeah, well, I'll make you a VM. How about that? But not really. But I just thought that was neat that you can download, and I'd forgotten about it, and like the VMware account, it was basically, oh, did you know that you could do this? Oh, we already know you did, but in case you need the link, here it is. They were kind of snarky with it, but it was just funny.
You know, Apple should do that. They should. They should provide I don't care if it's like a little thing that installs and it connects to a cloud instance or whatnot, but they should provide that as a tool that, or at least a demo to try to persuade people why macOS is better. Give them an opportunity to try it.
It would be kind of handy to have something like that.
Kind of like how they have the, I know they wouldn't be able to do it like Amazon, but like Amazon Workspaces where you can spin up a desktop up there in Amazon's cloud and run it for however much you want. Apple should do that just to let people try.
Yeah, and didn't
tie it to their iCloud account so you can prevent abuse.
You remember too, Microsoft actually did the remote. You know how the remote desktop, you can actually connect to remote desktops just for applications.
Yeah, remote app.
Yeah, remote app. They did the Internet Explorer one.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's so funny. I was using it for a while. It's like, oh, I need Internet Explorer. I'll just do it here.
Yeah.
It was interesting. But it was
impossible to do anything on your local network. But
yeah. But you also found something kind of cool that's coming out for Windows. So go ahead and you share it.
Windows Sandbox. So it's super lightweight, virtual kind of virtual machines. It's more their Windows container technology. But it's making an easy way for people to download and run an application that they might not trust, where they can just completely trash it when they're done with it. So it's coming in. It's right now it's in the insider build 18.305. So who knows when this actually will come out to the rest of us, but it's going to come out to pro and enterprise. So it should hit education as well, because education generally gets everything enterprise does. Sorry, home users.
Yeah.
Don't use home.
Yeah. No kidding. I don't know why anybody would. I mean,
they bought a machine and it came with it. But yeah, it just leverages the Windows container technology. Same kind of stuff that Nano server's using.
And, you know, I think that's the world is going to be containers before too long.
Yes, it is. Containers are wonderful. They are like what's old is new again.
Yeah. But yeah, so we got Windows Sandbox coming and you can download a virtual machine. Hey, maybe in the virtual machine you might be able to try Windows Sandbox. Who knows?
You know, that would be kind of fun. Let's download a virtual machine from Microsoft, run Windows Sandbox to download another virtual machine and run in Sandbox.
That doesn't sound like Inception at all.
Because I don't trust any of them. So,
no,
I mean,
that's right. And the thing that I wanted to mention about Google Voice, Google News, is Google Voice. Google Voice is pretty neat. If you don't have a Google Voice number, you really ought to get one. it's
before you can't.
Before you can't, yeah. I think I have a Beaumont number, and I don't even think you can get Beaumont numbers anymore. I think the closest you can probably get is around Galveston these days. They're very kind of handy. Like if you don't have a home phone and you have people you need to give a phone number to that you don't want to have your mobile phone, you can give them the Google Voice number, and it can you can set it up to ring straight to a voicemail box for them to leave a voicemail, which you can get in either a message in an app or an email or however you want to do that, with the voicemail transcribed to Google's best ability. I remember that was a fun game we used to play.
Oh, man, it has some good ones for these poor Southern accents.
Or you can actually set it up, whoever calls the Google Voice number, it will actually ring whatever number you want it to. And you can actually do, I know used to, you could, it's changed a lot since I've actually dug into it a whole lot more. But you used to could like set up rules. So like if a certain number would call, it would ring this phone, or for a certain time of day, it would ring this phone. It was just kind of neat.
Yeah, they have call screening that they mainly push it through now. Most of those rule-based stuff's gone. You can still do, like, favorites and non-favorites. But, yeah, it's not as granular as it used to be.
Yeah, and I have mine set up to call through the Hangouts app on iOS, and it will actually access the lock screen. It looks like a normal phone call coming in, but it answers and makes the phone call through the Hangouts app, if you were to call it. But it just looks like a regular phone call, except that it says Hangouts audio on it. It's just really neat. But the problem with Google Voice has always been was you couldn't call 911 in case of emergency. And so it really wasn't anything I thought great to use and other than like a second phone number to give to somebody. Or if you were like doing a side hustle and you wanted to have like a business phone number, you could give that one.
Side hustle.
But now Google Voice for G Suite customers, which are like education and business customers, are going to be able to support calling 911. And so that's like Google. To me, it's like Google entering the phone system market in a way.
I think it is because, I mean, what does it say? They added this into the additional services in, what was it, middle of this year sometime?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me scroll down. We'll do it live. It looks like it's going to exit the beta in March of 2019, which either means A, it's going to exit the beta, or B, it's going to go away.
Yeah. And so they always made those little boxes, you know, those OB boxes or something, I think is what they're called.
Yeah.
That you can plug in like a regular phone into and plug in an Ethernet cable to the other end, and you connect it to your Google Voice, you connect it to your Hangouts account or Google Talk account or something, and then you connect it to Google Voice, and you could actually make and receive phone calls on your home phone or like a home phone using your Google Voice number.
Yeah, and so, it's basically Google Voice ATAs.
So I'm wondering, like, is somebody going to build some kind of a system that can tie into like a small business or something that needs one phone number, basically, you know, to answer? And so maybe you could build some kind of a box that basically gives this one phone number multiple phone lines or phone extensions or something like that.
What I would like to see is them present SIP trunks.
Yeah, or just start building Google Voice out as a SIP provider. And so
they would get a lot of customers in the education space quickly.
But they also have to support the ability to port numbers. So I don't know.
Which they do, because I've ported numbers up to Google Voice already.
Yeah,
because
they had that thing with like Sprint for a while, didn't they? Or something?
Well, no, I just did it directly. It wasn't even through Sprint. It's $20 per number to port.
Oh.
They still have it.
Oh, well, good. So
kind of expensive, but...
Yeah. But for like a small business or something, like to get phone service already included with your Google that you pay for. Now, we don't pay for it because we're education customers, but if you're like a G Suite for business users, you're paying for it. And so it's already included in that user fee that you pay to have Google Voice. And so why not present it as SIP trunks? I mean, it can't be.
Yeah,
that
I mean, and the coolest part about it is it is unlimited. I mean, within the United States, if you're just calling within the United States, there are no charges to use it whatsoever.
Yeah, and it just basically says that administrators will be able to go in and set service addresses, because that's all it is 911 has to send the address where the phone call is coming from. And so that's just going to be neat. That they're actually doing this. And that just, I saw that last night and I got kind of excited about it because I like Google Voice. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Google stuff just because of like the history with like the tracking and the me being the actual product of Google and not so much Gmail, that sort of thing. And the ads and all that stuff, you know, the privacy thing.
What's privacy?
Yeah. I'm not a real big fan of Google. I mean, I think that they still make some of the best products and the best search engines. And I like using it for my school account because supposedly, quote unquote, we're not supposed to be treated like regular Google accounts being in education. Sometimes I wonder what email they're reading and not reading. But Google Voice has always been one of my favorite things because it's kind of like a convenience to be able to have that. It's like you have to go sign up for this new thing and you don't really want to give them your mobile phone. So you give them this Google Voice number and it's just great. So I like it. And so this is kind of exciting that, because I was actually telling, our band directors, about Google Voice the other day because they actually carry a work cell phone and a school cell phone. And we were talking about the eSIM thing on the new iPhones and how they were thinking about moving their school phone number over to that. But then we got to start talking about the Freedom of Information Acts, if it's a school device, it's a school number, but it's running on your personal device and all that. And so they kind of don't even really want to do that. So I was like, you know, just get a Google Voice account and link it to Hangouts that we already have. You'll get your text messages and stuff inside the Google Hangouts. And so they'll get vaulted and do all the data retention that we need. You'll get the messages on your phone, but you can easily get rid of them by deleting the app. And you get the second phone number that people can call. And it's for parents. Cause when the band goes off to their contests and things like that, they have this other number instead of giving them their cell phone number. So I totally get it, but I wouldn't want to pay for it if it was me. And so I think Google Voice is just or they can use the Remind to do the messages and Google Voice to do the phone calls. So yeah. I think it's great that it's coming.
There's huge potential with this because Google bought this from a company called Grand Central, and they had much bigger plans for the service than has been fulfilled with Google. So I'm hoping that they're going to present this as a whole business telephony service. I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So it's just kind of exciting to see that, you know, we just switched to SIP trunks, but I mean, hey, maybe in the future, this might even be a more cost-effective thing to do, to switch to Google Voice as the backbone for our phone system. So maybe they'll send you some box that you basically just tie in and all of a sudden there's your SIP trunk.
I hope so. And if they're listening, please make that.
Or at least let me make it. 911 was the big hurdle. I mean, that was the hurdle for doing this and they did it. So I'm happy. I like Google Voice. It's one of the few things about Google that I like. Except Wave. I liked Wave. Wave was cool.
I did like Wave. You probably like Waze, too.
Yeah, Waze was pretty neat. The Twitter thing?
It's still around. No, Waze is...
Oh, Waze is the mapping thing they bought?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can find out where the police are.
Yeah, I don't know why they just haven't rolled all that into Google Maps. They bought that company, and they just sort of left it alone. So
Apple users will still use it.
But Google had a thing. No, Google Buzz. Buzz was the Twitter thing.
Oh, that was awful.
I like Google Buzz. I like Twitter. I mean, if you can't say it in 140 characters, you don't need to say it at all. How about that? That's my thing. But okay.
It's a safe rule.
So let's round out this year. It's been a long year, but it's been a pretty good year. Let's talk about some things that we liked as far as tech, some tech things. I told you I was going to find three, and I actually found four, so I gave an honorable mention.
There you go. I was wondering what HM stood for.
Yeah, honorable mention. So let's do this in round-robin fashion. You go, then I go, then you go, then I go, that sort of thing. So you go ahead and go first and tell me about one of your favorite things of 2018.
Well, one of my favorite things, it's been around a while, but I've just started using it a lot more. Docker and the Docker management suites. Mainly I've been using Portainer because I've been doing smaller installs of Docker, but Docker's great. If you do any kind of development stuff or you just like to test out tons of different software, and you have limited hardware resources, Docker's phenomenal. It's a container platform because everything's going container, and it has repositories where you can just literally type in one line commands and you end up with a complete installation and a working instance present on your local machine of a particular application that is disposable at will if you want it to be. And it's just really cool. And Portainer is actually a Docker container that you install that lets you do management in a web UI, because a lot of people like web UIs and not CLI stuff. I get it. and it just lowers the barrier of entry to Docker tremendously. And I've used it for a lot of different applications as of late, and it's just made it quite painless to test things and replicate installs and things like that. It's good. If you're a developer and you're not using containers, start using them.
Yeah, they're kind of neat. I like the idea of like everything moving to Docker and containers, because it's like, hey, instead of spinning up a whole new virtual machine to run this one service, just spin it up as a container that's running off of another machine or something like that, and it saves on resources. And the things you were running on that box at your house with the limited amount of RAM on it was mind-boggling, to be honest with you. The things that we
2 gig of RAM on that box.
I mean, you were running that Rocket Chat instance. You have Ghost running that blogging thing, and it's just amazing.
Also have Nginx and Portainer and Shinobi. And yeah,
you had a lot going.
And Theora, and
with 2 gigs of RAM. So I mean,
two gigs of RAM.
It's just very nice. Docker and container stuff. I need to read up a lot more on it to try to understand.
You would
a lot
really
more.
You'd be a huge fan of it.
I like it's almost like it's taking how I like to do servers like one step further. I'm the kind of guy. It's like, if I have the resources, I want a server for DHCP. I want a server for this. I want a server for that. I like things separate so that you know that one thing's not going to interfere with another. But that's a lot of virtual machines to manage. That's a lot of stuff to keep up with. And if you don't have I'm fortunate enough that I have the RAM and the CPU to be able to do that, a lot of things. And I've combined some things. Like I had, like my services virtual machine has like the DHCP, the NPS, and some other things that I know won't interfere too much with anything. But just to be able to like click a button and all of a sudden here's a DHCP server that's basically utilizing the resources from the server that's running without having to basically run a full-blown server, but it's also independent from everything else. I just like that.
Yeah. Basically the way a container works is it's just shared kernels.
So it's just, I like it. But
it's cool.
My favorite thing, my most favorite thing of 2018 is my Apple Watch Series 4. It's like totally unrelated to anything that I do here at the school, other than the fact that I now get my messages and email and everything else faster on my watch than I used to. But for a while, I quit wearing my Apple Watch because I had the Series, the very first one that you waited like...
The Zero.
Yeah, the Zero. That's about as much as it could do was Zero. And I waited like 4 months to get it. And at first when it came in, it was great. And then they did some updates. And to me, the updates, it's like it peaked at watchOS 2 was the best for that watch. And then when they added 3 and then 4, it just seemed like it kind of went downhill from then, even though they tried really hard with it, bless their heart. But there was only so much that watch could do. And so I was real hesitant on getting another watch because I wasn't doing anything with it because it couldn't do anything with it. And then when I saw that they like did a kind of a form factor change just a little bit with the Series 4, I decided to I basically got it for a wash. I sold an old cell phone. I sold my old iPhone and was able to buy it. I basically didn't pay anything for it other than the fact of getting rid of an old phone because I was getting an upgrade anyway. And so I gave it a try. And it is like, I don't want any other watch anymore. It's like my wife bought me a watch like 2 years ago for Christmas because I wanted like a regular watch. I never wear it because this watch is phenomenal. I mean, the Series 4 Apple Watch, I think, is what Apple always wanted the Apple Watch to be. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, the phone call thing actually works on it. The walkie-talkie feature is kind of gimmicky, but it's kind of neat to be able to just shoot somebody over a voice message or something for the two people that I use it with. Since not everybody has Apple Watch Series 3 or higher than I know. A lot of people still have the 2s. But it's just... And it's more accurate with the health tracking and stuff. And so I'm on a killer move streak right now. I'm like 240 something days, maybe even close to 300. I don't know. It's been a long time. And so keeping that up. But it's a great device. It's fast. It's quick. It's easy. Being able to play music from it is kind of handy. And the few times that I just don't feel like getting my phone out of my bag or my pocket or something, I can just fire up the watch, pop on my AirPods, and listen to music that way. It's using I don't have the LTE model. I just have the GPS model. So it is using the connection from the phone. But because I didn't want to give AT&T any more money than what I had to, so I wasn't getting the LTE version. But it's just, I just love it. It's a great, great device. I mean, you have a smartwatch and you like it, but
I do. And it was one of those things I didn't think I was going to like it near as much as I do. But now I don't know what I'd do when I forget it. I feel lost all day.
I mean, and that's kind of the way. I mean, my first Apple Watch, I mean, I could take it or leave it. I mean, it was so slow, couldn't do anything. I didn't even have a single third party app installed on it. But now it's like I'm marking things off my things list where my work orders go to, checking my reminders, doing all those different things. And sometimes it really is a lot more convenient to do things on the watch than it is. It's faster to do them on the watch than it is to get the phone out, use Face ID, unlock it, open the app or whatever. I can just hit the little notification that comes up, hit mark as complete. I'm good to go.
And
it tells time. And it's really good.
It does tell time. They do good at time. Yeah, I have a Samsung Frontier, S3 Frontier, and I absolutely love it.
I just love it. And I know it doesn't really have anything to do with anything I do here at the school, but it's made my life a little bit easier up here. So I don't know. But I like it. That's my most favorite thing of 2018. My iPhone XS would have been on the list if it could actually make a phone call without dropping it all the time. So
they just need to call it iCommunicator now because phones is – stretching it.
Yeah, the iMessage thing.
I think they should call it the Newton.
Yeah.
the Newton. Good old Newton.
So what's another one of your favorite things that you have?
It's kind of along the same thing. I love my Note 9. My Galaxy Note 9. In fact, this is the second one I've had.
Yeah, I know. I'm about to say which version is this?
The first one, I just felt bad. I couldn't justify it, and I ended up sending it back. But I've kept this one. And, man, I love this thing. And I probably wouldn't even have got it, but my Note 8, when it got cracked in an unfortunate accident. But Note 9, I love it. I've been doing an experiment for a little over a week now where it's been my primary computing device at the house and on the go using Dex with some accessories. I'm doing a video on that hopefully soon, but it's awesome. It's super fast. It does have the face unlock stuff. Not as accurate as Apple's because Apple's is phenomenal, but it does work. I will give Apple where credit is due. Their Face ID is awesome.
It's
but
amazing.
I do have a fingerprint reader too.
So. Yeah, I do miss that sometimes.
But I love it. I use it for everything from recording videos to taking photos to full desktop computing. And in fact, I run Linux on it. So it has Linux support. So yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
The only thing I won't let you do is record this podcast on it.
He thinks so.
But. You could have me fooled. But yeah, the note, I mean, you've always liked the notes. I mean,
I love my notes. I'm actually one of those crazy people that uses the S Pen all the time.
And your poor Note 8. I mean, bless its heart.
I love that Note 8.
You tried so much, tried so hard to keep using it with the broke screen, despite the pleadings of your co-host here to just get you a new
phone. But you know
what?
And the thing is, I didn't break it.
I know. That's what's sad. So do you don't do the insurance or anything on them, do you?
No, I don't.
Well, no,
Note 8 had been given to me, so.
Yeah, it was you got it from a friend of yours, so it didn't do it. I do the I actually just did my wife on the Apple upgrade program. You pay a little bit more than the carrier, but it comes with the Apple carrier. You got the support. You just don't have to worry about it. And then I discovered that the phone is actually unlocked, and so if AT&T ticks me off, I can just take that phone wherever I want to go, and I don't have to worry about it. So
as long as it has the supported bands,
yeah. So it says all the big four carriers in the United States are supported on this phone,
which is cool.
So I can go anywhere. Cool. That means I can go to any big brand, or I can go to any little brand. So because they all run all the big brands.
Yeah. This one, it is through Verizon, but I did do the program to do the upgrade thing. That was the one I ended up sending back, and just doing this one through Verizon since I do the government program here, which you really should do at your school. I hear people requesting it.
Nah, we don't listen. But no, it's a really good deal if you want to go through the headache of doing it. You get discounts on price on phones. You get discounts for porting numbers in, and you can upgrade faster. For
every, all sorts of stuff. It's a good program, but you're only eligible if you can do it through government payroll deduction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I got this phone. I mean, I got a half price, so, I mean.
That's not bad.
Which is not bad. I just don't have insurance on it. I've thought about getting Samsung Plus on it just to CYA myself.
Yeah. I don't know. Something about the – I had AppleCare on my iPhone 7 Plus, and then I had – the only other phone that I had it on was the iPhone 4, the one where it was glass front and back. Just because,
yeah,
just
because that makes so much sense, carrier. People, quit making glass phones.
Yeah, and so I was like, I'm going to drop and break this, and I ended up not doing it. But I ended up using the AppleCare on my other phone, on my 7 Plus, because I got a crack in the little sapphire lens – or on the sapphire glass on the back camera. And yeah, I don't know how I did it, but it had like a crack in it. And I used it until it started affecting pictures, you know, like letting sun glare hit in that crack some way. And it was messing up pictures.
Nice, weird looking line in your photos.
Yeah. So when it started messing up pictures of my kid, that's when I was like, okay, I got to get a new phone. And so I made an appointment at the Apple store one day when we were in Houston, and I went, and they ended up forgetting about me after I checked in. And they took care of my phone, but then they waived the $99 fee because they had forgot about me. So basically, I got my phone swapped. So I was happy. But that was the only other time that I've ever had to use AppleCare. Knock on wood, I've never broken a screen. But with this OLED screen, I just know it's coming. I just feel it.
I haven't either still, but...
Yeah, you can't claim yours because you didn't do it. Somebody slammed a toolbox on top of your phone. Geniuses.
Yeah, that wasn't very nice.
Yeah, but my second thing... I cannot sing the praises of it enough. System Center. I know we've talked. We've talked.
I couldn't put this one down because you put it down.
Yeah, I won't talk about it. You go back to our previous episodes where we've talked about System Center. It's great for managing devices, pushing out software. I've gone ahead and switched to it for the remote support stuff. I'm canceling my Daimler subscription and going with System Center Remote Desktop Control for the remote assist for that. Setting it up to where it imports the users and the machines, lets you see who's logged into what machine and where. So if somebody calls you and they have a problem, you can just search for the user and just hop right onto their machine in a way that they don't even know you're doing it some instances. So I can't sing the praises of System Center enough. It is just, it's amazing. And whenever I get into being able to use it more than just, remote support, which is basically kind of what it's reverted to right now. I'm hoping to, from now on, whenever I need to push out software, to use that as opposed to group policy, because it gives you like an easier way. It does it without needing a reboot. Once the client checks in, it starts installing the software, or it removes the software, whatever you want to do. We have an iStation update I think we're going to have to push out at the beginning of January that I got an email about. So I'm looking forward to using System Center to get that deployed. Even though in theory I think it should update itself, but I'm not going to trust it.
It never does for some reason.
Yeah, and so I love System Center. It is amazing. It's a pain to set up, but spend the 3 days that it's going to take you to set up. And once you get it set up, Google what you want to do on it, and you will find tons of blogs and everything about System Center, and it's amazing.
It's deceiving how simple the user interface for System Center is, because they kind of like hide everything within everything. But just for the script library alone, it's incredible.
It's a great product. And I am glad that that one of our other school districts basically said, Matt, you just need to do it. Suck it up and deal with it. upgrade that schema and get it done. So System Center, make sure you go check it out. If you manage any kind of Windows machines, it's definitely a must-have, I think, in my opinion. So nice. Your next thing.
Well, my next one is kind
your
of
third
a big
thing, actually.
Lumping. Yeah, my third thing. It's just kind of a big lumping of things. I'm a huge fan of Ubiquiti Networks and their equipment and gear. And this was just a really great year as far as them releasing new hardware and better software for that hardware. I mean, the new Unify version 5.9.
Oh, the controller is great.
Yes, it's fantastic. It's so much better than it was in 5.8 and below.
And it wasn't even bad.
Fantastic. No, it was great. But they've introduced so many new features in it that it's just, man, it's amazing what they've done with it. Deep packet inspection rules work. IPS and IDS work. for intrusion prevention and intrusion detection. And they give you this nice, pretty little user interface to do it in. I mean, you get for IPS and IDS, you get a picture of the globe and seeing where everything's coming from attacking you. It's cool.
That is pretty neat.
And it actually stops it, though, which is even better.
Even better. And in your instance, sometimes it stops things that you don't want it to stop.
Yeah, it stops me.
And Apple iOS updates.
Oh, goodness. That's cool. I still haven't figured a way around that because it identifies that way every time. But well, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, I remember you showed me those access points that basically take the spot of a network jack inside of the wall,
yes.
Which makes it an AP, and then it gives you like four more switches with one of them having PoE pass through to power a phone. That's just awesome. I was telling people that it's like, I want
and
that.
And here's the deal. It's called an in-wall HD, and it's 802.11 AC Wave 2. It's Wave 2 compliant. So it has, I think it's 4x4 MIMO, 1700 megabits per client can connect to it. Plus it has that 4-port switch on the bottom, and each port is individually configurable, which is just awesome. And it's $180.
Yeah, that is
not marked up.
Yeah, that is insane of what you get for what you pay for when it comes to. In fact, that old saying, we say it when we talk about Google support, you get what you pay for. You actually get more than what you pay when it comes to Ubiquiti. It can do so much.
Yeah.
And not to mention, there's no licensing fees to connect your APs to your controller. You don't have to have a physical controller if you don't want to. I mean, I think they do make one, like that Cloud Key thing or something.
Yeah, they do. And they have a Cloud Key. They actually released a couple new versions of that this year. I mean, like I said, this was an incredible year for their hardware team. They have their Cloud Key 2 Plus that actually will function as an NVR as well for their camera systems. So, I mean, they're making the right moves. They have an application server that they released, which is a 1U box with the Xeon. And it has a couple drives for RAID in there to do different things, and makes it real simple for someone who doesn't really... They know they want this product, but they don't know how to set up like a Linux server backend to run it and stuff. The barrier to entry is so low. But yeah, I can't sing this company's praises enough, even if they don't ever acknowledge it. I love it. I love this gear. I love the gear they do. I mean,
that's what I run
for
in my house.
What you get for the for what you get and the price you pay, it's just, man, it's awesome.
I mean, you're gonna replace my $3,000 Cisco switch with a $550 switch. I mean, and get the same features.
Mostly, I'm not going to be able to test cables though.
Oh.
You can do that with yours.
Well, I mean, I don't know how to do that.
Most people don't know to do that.
Yeah, I know. It's like I didn't know it. Didn't know I could do that.
But yeah, you can actually, on your Cisco switches, you can do a cable test. It'll tell you where how far down the line a break is and everything. It's like a full Fluke test on every port.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I think you'll sacrifice that for $2,500,
I will.
Right?
I will. I'll just buy a Fluke meter and plug it in when I need it.
Yeah, I know. For about the same price, that's what you're going to save per switch. You just buy one of them.
But, well, that depends on who you buy them from.
But my last thing, yeah, no kidding. They might do 100% markup. But my last thing for this year is something that I think you shared with me. Well, I know you did one, and then I was like, you need to tell me what
you... I shared this one with you after the fact, because my code ended up breaking.
Yeah, and you said this is so much easier than what you put together. But it is the Centipede Arduino Chromebook enrollment thing. I've only used it like once or twice, and in some ways, I look forward to the next round of Chromebooks that I get in, because this is amazing. This is going to be a time saver. You just fire up the Chromebooks, you plug it in, you let it do its thing, it stops at the asset tag, you unplug it, you go to the next one. I'm hoping to build 10 of these, is my plan, and so that I can get 10 of them going at one time.
Well, as a word of caution, I can't keep up with two.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a problem that I want to have. But see, I want to be able to do two. I want my two people that help me with summer work be able to do two, because now I don't have to tell them anything. Before,
here,
it's like
plug this in.
I told the guys that were helping me do it, I had to give them the username and password for the enrollment ID that I was using. I don't use my account, and I don't use our main admin account. I use a special enrollment email that I can enable and disable at will.
Which whatever. Everyone should be doing.
Yeah. And so, and plus I just like seeing consistency. Like when you see like the thing, it's like enrolled by, enroll at Orangefield ISD, you know, enroll at Orangefield. It's just, like, I like to see the consistency. I don't like seeing like off the wall people just kind of show up. But, and so I had to do that. Now I don't have to do that. And so I just plug this in. You just got to be careful though. When it's done, unplug that thing because it's going to start typing over whatever you have on your screen.
And yeah, what's really bad is when you're setting it up for the first time and you accidentally typed in the password or something wrong and you have to plug it back in to reprogram it. Well, just open Notepad, throw your cursor in there, and then plug it in. Wait till it's done, and then go reprogram it because you will jack up your code.
Yeah, and that's how I like showed people what it was actually doing because you could actually like see the thing move when it was hitting tab and mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. It's going to save so much time, more time that I can spend getting the carts wired faster than sitting there enrolling Chromebooks. So, but yeah, that's the plan, to have 10 of them, so I can get 5 people going with 2 of them, and so we can get.
Man, we could knock them out through.
That's
you could burn through 1,000 a day like that.
That's the goal. But in the show notes, I'm going to try to have links to all these things, so you can check them out to see what we're talking about. I just need to grab a link to Docker and Portainer, but you'll have links to everything else. So as we finish out this show and finish out 2018, it's kind of weird to say considering it's only December 20th and we have like 11 more days. But this is like our New Year's Eve, I guess, as far as in podcast land. So what is something or some things, since of course I overachieved and wrote like 3, that you're looking forward to for next year or to do next year for your school?
Well, we're going
to
get mad on YouTube and do these shows live.
No, and not happening.
No? Oh, okay. Well, I just thought I'd see what reaction I got there.
No, no, not happening. Not happening. No? Not okay. At all. I like the audio format.
Well, you can still talk. I'm not going to make you assign things.
I'll just like have me a little animated character or something. So
you can animoji your person. Yeah, you animoji yourself.
Yeah, I do have a pretty cool animoji. I ain't gonna lie. It's got my beard and my sunglasses.
Can you do that? Can you use your animoji as a camera source?
What you have to do is like there's like some app that kind of opens it and accesses it, and you basically just record it, and then you can like export it. But you can't use it as a source. You'd have to like pre-record it.
Oh, you could use like an Elgato and HDMI at N as a source.
Oh, that's just weird. That sounds like it's too much work. So since
it
you
is
went,
a little work, but no, in all seriousness though, and most of my stuff I'm looking forward to. Yeah, I'm talking about work because this is education.
Well, me too. That's what I'm going to do too.
And I'm looking very forward to our network migration. I got some very old gear here, and I'm going to get to go to some network gear that I'm a fanboy of. So, I mean, how could I not be happy moving to Ubiquiti gear here?
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I want to come help you do that just because I want to see it all when it's done.
And I did receive some stuff, and I had to send it back. Hey, no, I didn't ask for labor on this. Please take it off. I want to do it.
Yeah.
That's how forward I am looking to it. I mean, I love it. Yeah, network migration, so excited about that. And another piece of migration I'm really excited about, I've already got it built out and tested and everything, is moving off of this ancient Avaya phone system.
Everybody should be moving off of Avaya phone systems. It's too expensive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this one's not expensive, but no one can give me the login.
You can't do anything with it.
No one. I can't even change my name on the voicemail.
That's pretty bad. That's funny.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be moving to Fusion PBX, of course, with Yealink phones. So excited about it.
Yeah, and the things that I'm looking forward to this year, also migrations. I'm actually kind of looking forward to going to Hyper-V whenever I get new servers at some point next year. I'm looking forward to the cost savings, and you know, I'm to that point now where it's like I'm ready for a new challenge, ready for something new, ready to learn something new, and so Hyper-V is kind of on that radar. In fact, I have a desktop sitting on the table in front of me that I need to wipe out with a data center, so I can actually try to start playing with Hyper-V. I just haven't gotten around to doing that yet. And then the other thing I'm looking forward to is finishing migrating everything to Windows 10. So since I started the process, everything, I guess sometime last year, maybe the year before, the rules being anything new or anything that has to be re-imaged gets Windows 10. I'm no longer installing Windows 7. But I didn't go like back and retroactively wipe out machines just because, for one, I didn't have the time to do it. Number two, these machines are kind of old. And so I just didn't know. I didn't want to invest like some of the schools did in putting SSDs in them. I just want them to go away. Even though SSDs are a great way to make your machines better without spending a whole lot of money on them. But my school is fortunate enough that every 5 years or so we can do a complete refresh of teacher machines. And so I'm hoping that is now time for that cycle. And so I am looking forward to basically 98% of Windows 7 being gone once those new machines come in. And I will be fully on Windows 10 and can hopefully maybe take advantage of more of the features that it has as far as like things you can do in group policy and things like that. I also have a few things that I'll need to go manually wipe out, but that's a couple machines here or there. It's not that big a deal.
Like those vehicle maintenance machines where you got to have the I
will never touch that laptop. Never. That laptop will stay. It's running Windows 7, and it will stay running Windows 7 until it has to be completely replaced. I will not touch that thing. I am too scared to mess that software up.
Oh, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare, dude.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to being the majority of Windows 10. I'm slowly getting there, but being able to wipe out all the teacher machines at one time, it's going to be a lot of work, but it'll be okay because you just build a nice vanilla image and push it out, and you're good to go.
I got you an idea how you can learn Hyper-V and move yourself through that process. Build your image in Hyper-V.
And then clonezilla it to a server to download.
Or you could use the System Center to do your imaging now.
Oh, dude, I will not do WDS. It's not happening.
I'm curious to see how user state migration does work in it.
I just can't bring myself to do anything Windows with imaging. I just can't do it because I don't want to inject drivers ever, because it's such a pain in the rear end to do that.
It's not as bad anymore.
Oh, it's terrible. I just, clonezilla is just too easy not to use, you know.
You're right, it is easy. I'm going to add one to your list, your install of Dribbble.
Oh, is that the thing where I'm supposed to like boot clonezilla network from the network?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do need to do that. I need to take the time to do that. But yeah, so that's sort of the things that I'm looking forward to this year, is kind of like you doing some migrations. I'm just kind of holding off. I mean, I could do the Hyper-V migration now, but I mean, because I can run all of my virtual machines on two of my hosts. And so I could take a host out of commission, wipe it out, put Windows on it and do the Hyper-V trick. But I'm just sort of, the servers are kind of old and I'm kind of just kind of waiting for new hardware. That way I can get the... because my data center licenses aren't with my school agreement, so I'll have to buy those, the new ones, the 2019 ones, separate. And so I want to make sure that I get the right licensing for that. And so I'll probably borrow a 2019 install from you so that
the good thing is you can go download one of those ISOs as a trial from Microsoft for 2019. And run it forever.
Yeah.
And it's just going to say, please activate.
Yeah.
But it actually doesn't actually stop it from working and letting you learn, which I do appreciate, though.
So
I appreciate that. Now, do I recommend you running servers in your environment that says, please activate? No.
No, not at all.
But if you're trying to learn it and test it, by all means, go do it. Man, it works.
Yeah.
And 2019 is great.
So, yeah. So that's some of the things that we're kind of looking forward to and that we enjoyed about this past year. But that's our show for this week. For links and show notes for this episode, you can visit educatingtech.net/58. You can send us any questions, comments, or concerns to educatingtech@gmail.com or on Twitter at educatingtech. Don't forget, you can also tweet at us using the hashtag AskEducatingTech if you would like to send us a question for us to ask. Don't forget, if you have time, leave us a review and rating on iTunes. Don't forget, if you leave a 5-star rating, I will read whatever it is you put in the review.
Good or bad.
Just filtered, of course, to meet the clean, obviously, the clean tag. We are education. To see what Chris is up to, you can find him on Twitter at Feeks, and hopefully pretty soon back on YouTube.
I know. I feel bad. I feel like I've let people down there. I even wrote a blog post about letting people down there, and you know what I've done since then? Let them down still.
I mean, yeah. You can find me on Twist of Mats. I actually set up a Linode to do another blogging thing. Got as far as installing the new WordPress. I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. And then I deleted it and went back to GitHub Pages to just host my link to my Twitter, was like, I'm not really interested in doing any blogging, I don't think. But if you're liking what we're doing, you can also support us by going to patreon.com/educatingtech. And like I said, don't forget to leave us a review and a rating in iTunes to help us grow our audience. And that's it for this year. Like I said, we won't be back for 2 weeks. And so January 11th, we'll be back. So until then, see you later, Chris.
See you later, Matt.